So the epistle for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things, and they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run not as at an uncertainty, I so fight not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized, and in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drunk of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle, and he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just." And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here all the day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first." When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heat." But he answering said to one of them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Please be seated. All run indeed, but one receiveth the prize. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These 3 Sundays that we have, they're considered kind of a pre-Lenten period. It is a period of transition to take us from the Epiphany or even the Christmas season and to go into the Lenten time period. The church tries to make us realize in these 3 Sundays, in a way, the misery of the state of being in sin, our own weaknesses, the frailty of human nature. So it brings this before our eyes, it brings us to meditate and to look at in order to help us to see the great need for penance to fulfill the Lenten time period properly. So we can say in this pre-Lenten period, the spirit that pervades it is one of humility, one also a petition, then finally also a penance. We see that the gospel calls us to perfection. We looked at that last year, considering the different call at the different times. But we are all called to the same place. We're all called to heaven, and granted, yes, the mystery of Almighty God, of when he calls souls at different times. That we are to work in the vineyard, we can look at that in terms of the church, or even just our own soul, of taking care of our soul, to bear the burden of the day in order to reach the goal that is given to us. But then also we look at the epistle. It shows us the conditions then for this work that we will have. But I would say also it gives to us the encouragement encouragement for what is to come for us. Yes, the Lenten time period. It is a time period that helps us to prepare our soul for this race or this fight that we're in. And we've talked many times about how there is a battle for our souls. A battle that comes, whether through the world, the flesh, and the devil, even sometimes our own self. And so just the understanding of that fight, that battle that we are in. I mean, here we have St. Paul gives to us these two metaphors for us to think about and to contemplate. A race, a fight, a working towards something until the very end. Going back again to understanding the idea of to persevere to the end. To persevere in order to receive that crown. That if we have our sights fixed on the goal to obtain, that always helps us then to understand what we need to do in order to gain that goal. What is necessary for us. What we need to try to do. And so, yes, he gives us this metaphor, and he even says it in such a way that all run indeed, but only one receiveth the prize. I mean, granted, we know that heaven is not restricted to one soul. But it's to help us to understand that we must have this determination to be the one to receive that one prize. In a way for us to understand very clearly that we must try our best in order to receive that. Yes, to keep our eyes fixed on the goal that is necessary for us. And not only by then keeping our eyes fixed on that, but then to realize the conditions that are necessary in order to gain that prize. Because too often, even though, yes, we understand and we realize what is our goal, what is there for us, we don't always take the necessary precautions, the necessary steps to gain that goal. And so that is why St. Paul gives us these two metaphors. Because as with anything that you try to make an analogy by, you try to use something that is common to people, that they understand it. We understand the idea of a race, we understand the idea of a fight. We understand these things, and then to make that application to our own soul. That God has given us this time period. We don't know how long our race is. It could be a sprint, it could be a marathon. God only knows in terms of that. And so therefore, that's why it's necessary for us to make sure that we stay focused on the goal. In order to obtain the imperishable crown, this uncorruptible one. And it's interesting to how St. Paul even says, there are many people that go after perishable ones, things that are fleeting, but yet they are determined, they are bound to try to gain that perishable one, even though they won't be able to take it with them. So in a large sense, what good is it? But yet so many souls are determined for that. And then we, on the other hand, we have so much that is offered to us, an imperishable crown, and yet we don't have that same zeal, the same determination to try to fight for that. Because I think in a large sense we don't understand exactly then what that prize means to us. I mean, Sacred Scripture even says, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for the souls that love him. We can't even fathom what that prize is for us. It's so good that we can't even fathom it. We can't even imagine it because it is so good. But maybe in some ways that allows souls to feel like, well, then it's not attainable for me. Because of how good it is. And so they don't concentrate on trying to obtain it, of being that one to gain that prize. As I say, we know heaven is not restricted to one soul. But if you're determined to be the one to gain and win, well, then at least you're putting forth the effort that is necessary in order to gain that crown. But in some ways, we have a defeatist attitude. There's no way I can gain this. It's too hard, too high. And so, yes, we will fall short of that, definitely. And so that is what St. Paul is trying to encourage us by. I mean, when you look at this Mass itself, the Epistle, the Gospel, or the whole Mass itself, as I say, it is one that is calling for the mercy of God, because we understand the weakness that we have. But then he shows to us how God will call each soul, of how God is determined that he wants every soul in heaven, whether he calls them at the beginning of the day, the third, the sixth, the ninth, or even the 11th hour, you know, at the last minute, that he is bound and determined he wants all souls to him. And so, yes, he calls all of us. And so we can say he calls us to the fight, he calls us to the race. But then it is determined on us whether we finish it or not, whether we win or not, whether we gain that crown or not. But again, God gives us the necessary means for that. God gives us the graces for that. And I think that is what we have to then try to understand in our lives, to take advantage of that. And so at this time period, we can see very clearly the mind of the church again. We only have the two Sundays after the Epiphany, so it went very quickly in terms of that time period. In some ways, you could think we just were wearing purple just a little while ago during Advent, and here we are again. It is true. There were only two Sundays after the Epiphany. So the time period was very short. It's not the shortest it can be, but it was very short. And so the church tries to transition us, as I say, transition us from the celebration of the Christmas season to reminding us Lent is coming. And it's not to discourage us. It's not to say, like, oh, here we go again. But it's to help us to understand the great need for penance, for mortification, for us to try to make sure that our soul is able to receive the graces of God. And so, yes, we wear violet, a color that means for us penance, to abstain, to mortify, to sacrifice. And how necessary that is for us in our daily life. Because the world around us, yes, they satisfy themselves. They are not preparing themselves for this race or this fight that will gain an imperishable crown. I mean, you can have the different people that work for perishable ones, whether athletes, whether, you know, just people out in the world. You know, as I mentioned to you earlier, you know, at the beginning of the year, the people that, you know, I want to lose such and such amount of weight. Well, they're bound and determined to do so. But how bound and determined are we to keep the resolution that maybe we made on January 1st for this upcoming year? How bound and determined have we been in terms of that? Or has that gone by the wayside too? I mean, has that just been a fleeting dream? So he gives us to understand that we must punish the body. Put it under control. I mean, these are the words of St. Paul. But it's interesting to see how St. Paul also says, he said, after preaching, if I should be rejected, in a sense, as a hypocrite, that I preach to you and I try to show to you, this is what you must do and don't even follow it. That is what St. Paul is saying. How hypocritical that will be. And so very clearly we know from St. Paul, from other epistles of his, the Acts of the Apostles, of how mortified he was, of what he suffered for Christ, and suffered for Christ's sake, Christ crucified. I live not I, but Christ liveth in me. It was the life of the apostle to the Gentiles. And so certainly his words were not empty words. To the point that he asked our Lord to take away the sting of the flesh, this thorn of the flesh. And our Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so he realizes this buffeting thing that he would have to accept and take. The fighting of the adversaries, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do we keep our eyes fixed on that? Of how these are the enemies to the soul? I mean, it's basic, we can say basic catechism to us. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, sometimes we maybe use the whole sense of the devil as an excuse. Well, the devil made me do it, you know, he tempted me, so. I mean, good excuse. Kind of like at the seminary, I remember Bishop Williamson telling us, anytime we would ask a question about why are these problems in the world or different things, someone would say original sin. It's like, okay, well, yes, fine. Yes, it is because of original sin, but then what else after that? So it's very easy just to come up with these excuses of, well, yes, well, the devil, you know, is what caused me to sin. But if we don't understand that these are the enemies to the soul and we don't do anything about that and fight against them and keep ourselves away from them, well, then it's the same thing we just say. The world, the flesh, and the devil, well, that's what made me sin. And God's going to say, well, that's what I warned you and said that those were the enemies to your soul. So why didn't you stay away from them? It's like, oh, that's what was supposed to happen. No, so that is why St. Paul is telling us you must fight. You're in a fight for this. A race to the end. Of trying to gain that crown. So granted, yes, our eyes must be fixed on the goal. The certitude of the end of it, the direction towards it, these are the things that we must try to do. And that is what God has given to us in this life, and that's why I say, some people have a sprint, some people have a marathon. God only knows. We have no idea of how long God will keep us on this earth. And so therefore, yes, we must pace ourselves, but we must also realize we must get to the end. So it's not enough for us just to say, you know, that we believe in the traditional Mass, the traditional faith. It's not enough for us. But we have to practice it. We have to realize the fight that is necessary. And that is, the fight means just the effort that you put into it. If you put no effort into trying to live your faith, you're not going to get much out of it. I mean, it's certainly just as the same thing as someone who is running a race. If they kind of walk or they kind of jog or they kind of stand for a while and then walk, they're never going to get anywhere. And they're certainly not going to win it because of that. Because it will have people that are lapping them all around them. So that's what we must understand. That is what we must try to put into practice. And that's why you see at the end of the gospel, the famous saying of our Lord, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And he puts this at the end of the ones that are called to work. Very clearly, our Lord is mentioning, maybe it's subtle to us, but he calls all souls, so many are called to perfection, to the life of God. But unfortunately, few are chosen for that. But the choice is ours. The choice is ours to make. And so that is one of those things that the invitation is there to us, whether we accept it or not, boils down to us. So when our Lord says that, it's not that he's just picking the ones. Well, this one, nah, not that one. No, he's calling all. But unfortunately, the end result is that only a few are chosen for it. So yes, our salvation is not assured. We must struggle, we must train, we must be vigilant. vigilant in order to gain the prize. And so let us heed the advice of St. Paul, and let us also look at this Mass in seeing that these three Sundays are going to be a gentle reminder to us of, yes, the weakness of human nature. But it's a warning. It comes with a warning with it. Because of the weakness, you must be vigilant. You must fight. You must train. And so let us pray to St. Paul to help us then, that through that we can say with him, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As to the rest, there is laid up for me a crown of justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.